about the conditions of withdrawal of the Swedish troops from Ivangorod Fortress. The view on Narva bastions from the Gunpowder Tower. The tallest tower of Ivangorod Fortress was the Gunpowder Tower. Round and in plain view, the multi-level Gunpowder Tower played a key role in the defensive systems of the fortress. It could hold under fire both Narva Castle and the river access routes to it. Its peculiarity was a tall, round viewing tower, the so-called Tsar's Eye of Ivangorod. It was used for keeping watch over the fortifications of the enemy. Today, one can also enjoy the view over Narva Castle and the eastern line of the Narva bastions from the Gunpowder Tower. These mighty fortifications were built at the end of the 17th century, when Narva and Ivangorod belonged to the Swedish kingdom. The author of the project was Erik Dahlberg, a Swedish field marshal general, a military engineer, and an architect. By the time of the Great Northern War starting in 1700, only 7 bastions out of 9, which was supposed to be built around Narva, were ready. But in spite of that, in those times, Narva Fortress was considered to be the strongest in Northern Europe. The bastions were tested significantly in 1704, when Narva was sieged by the troops of Peter the Great. Even though they seemed virtually unassailable, the stone bastion walls turned out to be quite vulnerable under the direct fire of Russian cannons. After 10 days of interrupted cannonball fire, the first part of the Victoria Bastion and the wall of the Honor Bastion were completely destroyed. The Russian troops were very inspired by such a success, and they started their assault of Narva, which ended in its conquest. Afterwards, Peter the Great changed the name of the Honor Bastion into God's Breach to commemorate its collapse, which was so fortunate for the Russians. In spite of the fact that Narva surrendered, the Swedish garrison of Ivangorod Fortress did not throw down its arms. Several messages were sent to the governor of the fortress by the Russians with a demand for their surrender. At that time, the Swedish garrison in the fortress consisted of only 200 people. They'd almost run out of food supplies. Just 5 measures of bread were left. By that time, the Russian army consisted of 45,000 people and had 150 siege guns and over 400 pieces of trophy, artillery arms, from Narva. Finally, the answer was delivered from Ivangorod Fortress. The fortress surrendered on the following conditions. The garrison was supposed to step out of the fortress, fly flags, and play music with weapons in their hands and with field guns, and they asked for the provision of unrestricted access to the Ruval for the entire garrison with their families. The commanders of the Russian army gave their consent to unrestricted leave for the Swedes from the Ivangorod Fortress, but their request connected with the guns, music, and flags was turned down. According to one legend, the Swedish soldiers left the fortress with a bullet behind their cheek as a symbol of the fact that they had not been defeated in a showdown fight, but were war prisoners, and were not giving a promise not to fight against the victors in the future. After the Swedish garrison left, Peter the Great entered the fortress together along with the soldiers.